Ken, my name is Sakti Subbarayalu. I am an assistant professor in soil science and agronomy at Central State. I graduated from Ohio State. Go Buckeyes. The title of my talk is crop response to sulfur application likely? We all know that sulfur is an essential macronutrient for production, for plant growth. If I apply sulfur to my farm field, will I see a crop response? The reason we're talking about that now is I think we've done a good job using our Clean Air Act, 1990 amendment enacted in 1963. Since then, I think we have brought down our pollution, improved our water quality and air quality. But I think that has brought about a unintended consequence. At least it's likely that that act has brought about an unintended consequence. If you Google unintended consequences, nothing wrong with that. You know, we plan something, but we see something else. For example, email is a great feature that we have, but it comes with spam. If you want to have cows make production, we have to deal with the poop. You know, so I'm not saying that we repeal the Clean Air Act, but just as a scientist, I'm trying to understand how can we address this issue. So to this map view that you see here, it's from NADP, National Atmospheric Deposition Program. I took this data and averaged this data between 1985 data and the 2013 data. You could see that on an average, we have a reduction of about anywhere between 0 to 48 kilograms of sulfur per hectare deposition across the United States. And the yellow and the dark red areas are where you see the largest reduction in wet sulfur deposition. To your right, you see that the fertilizer pattern, the usage pattern has changed over the years since 1960s, where we used to use mixed fertilizers, where we, for example, single superphosphates, which also had phosphorus and sulfur. Sulfur was about 11 to 12%, but we moved away from that, and it's more concentrated form of fertilizers. You see that brown line there. It's a sharp decline in ordinary superphosphates. So those are the reduction in inputs our sulfur. The sources of sulfur are, soil and atmosphere. So those are the two inputs. So we have a reduction in input. Coupled with those reduction in inputs, we have also an increased crop removal and changing precipitation pattern where leaching is influencing the output of sulfur from the soil. So how do we quantify sulfur availability in soils? So one way to do that is we do soil testing. Test available sulfur in the soil or total sulfur in the soil or plant tissue testing. But the problem with that, those tools are they're one, costly, and they're time consuming, and also they're highly variable because of the nature of the sulfur cycle. The sulfur cycle has a gaseous biogeochemical component in it, and it's fleeting, so it changes pretty quickly across the space and temporally. So our team in Ohio, I think a few years ago, they developed this model. It's a balance approach, sulfur balance approach, where it's basically a simple model where we compute the sulfur mineralized in soil and the deposition from sulfur. You add those as inputs, and you take out the sulfur leached from soil. And the left-hand side of the equation and the right-hand side is our crop sulfur requirement of crops. So whenever we see a lower number in our left-hand side of the equation and a higher value in the right-hand side, then it's likely that the crop is going to face deficiency. So we took this model, and I tried to integrate that into a GIS, and I tried to use open-source GIS databases such as the Gridded Sergo, which is available at a 10-meter resolution. So I took that data and took organic matter data from G-Sergo, took the bulk density data, and we used this formula here to compute sulfur mineralization across the entire CONUS. 1 minute, okay. Entire CONUS. So that's our sulfur mineralization rate. And then I also took the NADP data, averaged the NADP data between 2013 and 25, created a deposition layer. And then I also computed like a leaching index based on these variables here, pH, clay, precipitation values. We used the PRISM data, 30-year climate normal, and then hydrologic soil group from the gridded circle. So I took all these data information, we indexed those data, combined those information, and created a final sulfur availability index. That's what you see here.
Need to wrap up.
Okay. So quickly, so this is a highly deficient. You know, we have these indices here, highly deficient, moderately deficient, variably deficient, sufficient, highly sufficient. And those are the two maps. We did those for low crop requirement and high crop requirement. And my poster is 12:26. If you have more questions, I'll be there this evening. And we also have developed a tool that the farmers could go and get the sulfur availability index.
All right. Thank you, Shaq.
Thank you.
All right.
Sorry. Apologize, Dan.
All right.